King Corral. Oh, King Corral. There the outlaw band make their final stand. Oh, King Corral. Oh, my dearest one, must I lay down my gun or take the chance of losing you forever? Duty calls, my back's against the wall. Have you no kind word to say before I ride away?
Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. I'm your host, James Ryan, and on today's episode of the podcast, I'm going to be discussing a number of films, some that are nominated for this year's Academy Awards, which are coming up tomorrow. Very, very excited to check that out. I have seen every Best Picture nominee. I finally checked out The Zone of Interest, which I'll talk about here in just a little bit. I watched the late 1950s gunfight at the OK Corral with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas. I also checked out Jonathan Glazer's first film, Sexy Beast, starring Ben Kingsley and Ray Winstone. And I rewatched The Departed and also checked out the musical adaptation of The Color Purple, which is nominated for at least one Academy Award. So let's get into it. I will start with Gunfight at the OK Corral, which is the theme that you heard at the beginning of this podcast. That was definitely the best part of it. Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas give some pretty solid performances as Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday, but the film, the pacing of it is just, it's off. It kind of just moves all over the place. It is a film that I was amused by, a film that I had a good time with, a film that was definitely of its time, definitely a Western movie of this era, but definitely one of the weaker ones. I love Kirk Douglas, I love Burt Lancaster, but yeah, this is not a movie that is, when you think of the great Westerns of the 50s, this is probably, I would not consider it one of them. Has some entertaining sequences for sure. Some action sequences towards the end, some sequences in bars are pretty amusing, I guess, is the best way of putting that. I don't know how suspenseful they actually are, even though that's what the filmmakers were going for. But yeah, I had a good time with it. Yeah, but would not recommend seeking it out. Let's see. Zone of Interest. Wow. This might be my second favorite of all the Best Picture nominees. A lot of people are talking about how it has no true narrative, and I think that's what makes this movie work so well. You see just the mundane lives of the commander of Auschwitz and his family, and how they are just living next door to what are all these atrocities happening, and just going about their everyday lives. And every single frame in this movie is just incredible. I read just a little bit about the making of this film and how they had set up, I think, 10 cameras around this house. And just, they just, the camera never moves, or very, very rarely, sometimes on a tracking shot. But for the most part, it just, the frame is held and you are just watching these people as they go through their everyday lives. Sound plays a huge, huge factor here. I was not able to check this one out at a movie theater, but I still think watching it at home, I think I got what was intended with the sound here. I think I had the experience that Jonathan Glazer was hoping for. I'm sure it would have been slightly better in theaters, but I still think it was very, very powerful. It's a movie that you don't think you're going to be moved by, but then by the end of it, at least I found myself very moved by it. I thought it was powerful, and it just, how often this movie is quiet, it makes the viewer think about it. And there's no movie that covers the Holocaust quite like this. Steven Spielberg recently came out in an interview saying that this was the best movie about the Holocaust since Schindler's List, and I would definitely agree with him, having just watched Schindler's List too. Yeah, I think this movie is extremely powerful. I'm looking forward to checking it out again. Just because I was at times distracted, because the movie itself, as disturbing as it can be from time to time due to the sound mixing and the sound editing here, it's a absolutely beautiful film to look at, and one that I found myself distracted by the visuals, and I probably missed some of the quieter moments that I was supposed to see. But anyway, if you haven't seen The Zone of Interest, definitely check that out. Also, Jonathan Glazer's work right now, his first two films are up on Criterion Channel. One is Sexy Beast, which I ended up checking out. The other one is Birth with Nicole Kidman. I haven't had a chance to check that one out yet. Sexy Beast was kind of his take on the crime drama. Ray Winstone plays this guy who wants to get out. And this is kind of just a classic story. He wants to get out. He doesn't want to do any more jobs. He's retired. But then Ben Kingsley, who's worked with him before and a fellow criminal, wants him to come back into the game. And Ben Kingsley's character is just completely, just super violent, volatile, super aggressive. You don't know what he's going to do next. Just complete psychopath. And I was definitely entertained by it. And there's, have you seen the movie Donnie Darko with the rabbit? There's actually, like, there's some dream sequences and some, like, I don't know. All of Jonathan Glazer's work, the only one I haven't seen yet is Birth. I've seen Under the Skin. I obviously just talked about Zone of Interest, and I saw this movie. All of them are just so unique. The man does not make very many films. So maybe there will be a director episode on him coming up sometime pretty soon, because, again, it's only four films for his whole filmography. But if you have the Criterion Channel, you have access to it, I would recommend checking it out. I definitely had a good time with it. Let's see. Color Purple. I thought that this was the production design and the production values of the movie are absolutely incredible. There's some incredible performances in it as well. Having just watched Steven Spielberg's 1985, The Color Purple, I was actually not so excited to check this one out. But I thought that they edited and cut down Spielberg's original story. I think they, and again, based on the book, obviously, but I think they cut the scenes that needed to be cut. I thought that it was a tighter film, actually, and I thought it worked pretty well. And I think for most people that were going to see it and had seen the original and knew the story to begin with, really, really liked it. 1985 original is definitely where it's at, though. And I would highly, highly recommend checking that out. This was by no means a bad movie. No, it was pretty good. I was maybe just not in a musical mood when I watched it, but very high energy, very good. Had a good time. And the last movie that I'm going to talk about today is The Departed. Probably the movie that I have seen the most in the last decade. It's one of those movies that I can just rewatch over and over again. In large part due to the performances here. Jack Nicholson, his facial expressions, absolutely incredible. Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, Vera Farmiga. I'm missing somebody. Leo, of course it's Leo. Leonardo DiCaprio. Just a film with lots of twists and turns. Martin Sheen's in it too. Just super, super entertaining. I love films that are set in Boston. And I think this film just, yeah. I love it. I'm not going to say too much about it because all the twists and the turns are too much fun. But one of my favorite Martin Scorsese movies. Really, really good. I think it ended up winning 2006's Best Picture. I can't recommend it enough. Very, very, very entertaining watch. And on to talking about the Academy Awards. So here we go. I'm going to make this is going to be a longer podcast. So if you're just here for the reviews, that's that. But I'm going to do a should win, but I'm also going to make some predictions here. So should win, and then who I think will actually end up winning. So we're going to go category by category. Some categories I won't be as knowledgeable about as others, but I'm going to try my best. So actor in a leading role, we have Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy, and Jeffrey Wright. Sounds like this is a two-horse race between Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti. If it were me, I actually like Paul Giamatti's performance more, but I do think Cillian Murphy is probably going to take it here. Paul Giamatti may surprise some people, though, and he might end up taking it. We will see. But a few weeks ago, or even a month ago, it was Cillian Murphy's to lose. But yeah, now tide is changing ever so slightly. So, actor in a supporting role, we have Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo. Robert Downey Jr. is going to win for Oppenheimer. I don't think his performance is, I think it's a great performance, but I don't think it's as good as De Niro's in Killers of the Flower Moon. And I think it's better than Ryan Gosling. Mark Ruffalo actually gives a super, super brave performance of Poor Things and does a really good job. His character is kind of one note, which might work against him, but Robert Downey's going to win it, but I actually really like De Niro's performance in Killers of the Flower Moon, but that's me. And I thought Sterling K. Brown gave a great performance as well. It's a pretty small part, but it's very important to that movie as well. Actress in a supporting role, we have Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferreira, Jodie Foster, and Divine Joy Randolph. Divine Joy Randolph is going to win this, most likely, and I think very deservedly so. Danielle Brooks' performance in The Color Purple is great. It's a very, very small role. Emily Blunt is very, very important in Oppenheimer, but it's really one sequence in particular that is like that is like her scene. Divine Joy Randolph, I think, is just, I think she's going to win. I think very deservedly so. Really, really good performance. Animated feature film. This is one where I have not seen a whole lot of them. The Boy and the Heron, I saw. Elemental, nope. Nimona? I think it's Nimona. Robot Dreams, and then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The only two I saw were The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and those are the two that are going neck and neck. For me, I would go Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The last Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse ended up winning, so maybe they're going to go a different route. If Miyazaki was retiring as well, maybe they would say, okay, let's give it to Miyazaki. But it's going to go one of those ways. I loved both films, but Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse would just be a little higher in my boat, in my opinion. So here we go. Cinematography, El Conde, which I still haven't had a chance to check out. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And this is 100% going to Oppenheimer. It should go to Oppenheimer. Hoytema's work in this film is just insane. I've watched it behind the scenes, just what he had to do and how he was handheld carrying these IMAX cameras and everything. It's just, and how they had to have this black and white IMAX film made. Like, it's his. That one is absolutely sealed. Costume design, it's Jacqueline Duran, Jacqueline West, Yanti Yates and Dave Crossman. And then I'm just going to stop trying to pronounce names. I think I'm just going to go into movies. So Barbie's Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Costume design. Ooh, I think this is Napoleon's only nomination. Great costume work there. I think this one should win. Is Poor Things is going to win. Is probably also going. I think it's going to go to Poor Things. Absolutely incredible work there. Directing, this one, the big one, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and then Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest. Going to win, probably Nolan should win. I honestly would go Jonathan Glazer. Maybe that's crazy because that film is not as complicated, I guess is the best way of putting that. But I just loved it. I loved the direction of that film. I think it's going to go to Christopher Nolan. Any of those picks are fantastic, though. Like the best picture nominees, which get into in just a minute, all of them were pretty strong this year. I thought Maestro and Barbie were probably the two weakest. But nonetheless, you can't really go wrong on any of them. Documentary feature film, I was hoping to check out more of these. Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days of Mariupol. 20 Days of Mariupol should win. It's going to win. And it is probably, I don't know, it's definitely top five hardest movie experiences I've ever had. One of the most important documentaries ever made, in my opinion. Everybody should see it. It is currently free on YouTube. I think it's on PBS's website as well. Wow. I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest. It's a film that more people need to see. More people need to be made aware of what is happening. But it is nonetheless, just a very, 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 very difficult watch. I had to watch it in parts. I think I watched it in over the course of 3 or 4 days because I just at times just had to shut it off. But yeah, it is a very, very important piece of filmmaking. The only other film that I saw was Four Daughters, which I think I talked about maybe on the podcast a month or so ago. Very interesting way of filming a documentary with reenactors, but then also having people that were having the real people be there as well. It was a very interesting way of telling that story. Can't say that I loved it, but I enjoyed it. Documentary short films, the shorts I'm not going to get into because I haven't watched any of them. The ABCs of Book Banning is supposed to be good. I think most of the documentary shorts are available online and supposed to be pretty solid. Here, The Last Repair Shop is good. The Barber of Little Rock and the ABCs of Book Banning. Supposedly ABCs of Book Banning is going to be the winner. Not sure. Film editing. This one is going to go to Oppenheimer. Jennifer Lane's work is absolutely incredible here. This disjointed narrative structure that ends up working so well, at least in my opinion. Hats off to her. Wow, absolutely incredible. Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Poor Things are also up for it here. This one's going to be Oppenheimer as well. International feature film. This is the category that I am probably the most upset of myself for because I wanted to check out more of these. But Io Capitano, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It might not be. Perfect Days, Wim Wenders' latest movie, which I have and had this whole week, and I didn't watch it. I think I'm saving it. It's like when you get a nice bottle of wine and you're just like, I'm just going to save this. You know what? And I do this with movies. I'm just like, could watch this now, but I'm going to go ahead and just hold up. So I won't be ready for the Oscars with that one. It was one of my most anticipated movies of the year. And I'm saving it. So I had lots of time to watch it this week. And I said, you know what? I'm going to save this for a another day. Society of the Snow, and then, which I did see, The Teacher's Lounge, which I didn't see, and I'm hearing such mixed things about. Critics seem to love it. Audience members seem to really dislike it. And then The Zone of Interest. Zone of Interest is going to win. It's also up for Best Picture, and it will probably not win that. It is going to win International Feature Film, and probably rightfully so. Perfect Days, I'm super excited to check that out at some point. Society of the Snow I thought was really good. Much better than the late 70s American version called Alive. I thought it was really, really powerful. Speaking of Society of the Snow, it is up for makeup and hairstyling. It should win, and it's hard to say that it will. Maestro could take the cake here. Maestro, Golda, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and yeah, Society of the Snow are up here. Society of the Snow is what I would give it to, but yeah, we'll see. It could end up going to Maestro there. Music, original score, we got American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, John Williams, you're nominated again, sir. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. It's probably going to go to Ludwig Göransson for his score in Oppenheimer. None of these scores, I don't really like. That's the thing. When it's very, very rare that music, a score, I don't know, hits me when I'm watching a movie. I think I'm much more focused on dialogue and the cinematography than I am the music. Sound will play will definitely contribute to my viewing experience, but music, it's the thing that I pay attention to the least. It's definitely extremely important and has an impact, but it goes unnoticed by me, which is interesting. It's going to probably go to Oppenheimer. Should it go to Oppenheimer? Couldn't tell you. Because like if you ask, like, think of the score inside of your head, think of the song from that. Like I can't, it's just not how my brain works. So, we will see. Music original song, The Fire Inside, I'm Just Ken, It Never Went Away, A Song for My People, and then What Was I Made For? What Was I Made For is supposedly going to win. This is by Billie Eilish, which I think will wrap up the EGOT for her. I don't know I don't remember the song from Killers of the Flower Moon. I didn't listen to It Never Went Away or The Fire Inside. And I'm Just Ken is fine. It's amusing. It gets stuck in your head. But yeah, I don't know what's going to end up getting the win there. I'm going to skip over the next one on my list is Best Picture. I'm going to skip that till the end. Production design, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Man, there was so much work that went into all of these films. Killers of the Flower Moon and Barbie and Oppenheimer, they basically had to build these just massive sets, these cities. Killers of the Flower Moon would be my pick. Jack Fisk, who's worked with David Lynch a lot, grew up working with him. Yeah, does some absolutely incredible work here. He would be my pick. Should win. I think Killers of the Flower Moon will win. I think it's between Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Killers of the Flower Moon. Kind of hard to pick one there. Skipping over animated short film and live action short film. Heard they were not good this year, so I'm kind of glad I skipped out. Sound, The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. It's between Oppenheimer and The Zone of Interest here. And I thought the sound work in Maestro was absolutely incredible. Probably the best part of the film. Creator, I'll talk about in just a minute with the visual effects. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. Yeah, I don't remember thinking too much about the sound, but Oppenheimer and Zone of Interest, absolutely you think of the sound. I think in terms of, I think for sound, should win would be Oppenheimer. When I get to sound editing, I think I'll probably be Zone of Interest. But Oppenheimer, wow, sound plays a pivotal role, in particular during the Trinity test, and it is, or lack of sound, it is just, yeah, incredible. So Oppenheimer, visual effects, The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. Visual effects, I thought the best visual effects of the year were The Creator and Godzilla Minus One. Godzilla Minus One is what people are hoping is going to win. Should win, probably, it might be Godzilla Minus One is my should win, but I think will win. I'm going to go The Creator there. I might be wrong, but that's my prediction. Adapted screenplay, American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. Nolan's screenplay is so interesting because it's written in the first person. I haven't read the entire thing yet. Man, oof, that's tough. Yeah, I guess should win. I'll go with Oppenheimer. I'll go with Oppenheimer, but oh man, that's a tough one. And then I really have no idea who's going to win in that. The screenplay awards are always so tough. Yeah, really, really tricky. Original screenplays, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. Should win. Past Lives would be my vote. I just love that script. I love that movie so much, and I would love to see it win something. But I think it's probably going to go to Anatomy of a Fall. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, the screenplay ones are just so tough. And that brings me to the discussion of the Best Picture nominees. So, I forget how many years back it was, but yeah, they're now up to 10. When I was growing up, it used to just be 5. Now they've opened it up so they can recognize more films, get more people excited about it. And yeah, this is an interesting year because a lot of the big movies of the year are being recognized. The whole Oppenheimer, and Barbie craze, the Barbenheimer, is kind of bled over into the Academy Awards. So, and I know that is in part due to the, not only the quality of the films, of course, but the fact that, yeah, the Academy is trying to keep people as interested as they can in this award show. There are not that many people that end up checking out the Academy Awards anymore. So they're just trying to get people to watch it. So Best Picture nominees, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. My absolute favorite movie of the year, it was Past Lives a month ago and remains Past Lives. Movies that have such an emotional impact on me, like there's maybe one a year, and this one, it just absolutely, I think the screenplay is so fantastic. Celine Song, this is the first feature she's ever made. I just absolutely love that movie. That would be my number one. Number two, I think I would put The Zone of Interest in that spot. That was my second favorite movie of the year. The sound work there, the camera work, as a photographer, it was just absolutely beautiful. Every single frame of that movie is absolutely incredible. My third pick would be Oppenheimer. This is probably the movie that is going to win. I think this is Christopher Nolan at just the absolute top of his game. Having seen Tenet a couple weeks back, it's like, wow, that is probably his weakest film, but he follows it up with what is probably his strongest. He's just an incredible filmmaker, and the fact that he is just making these mainstream movies that are just so, so well done, and just like the technical scale of these films is just incredible. Yes, I love independent films and small films like Past Lives, but I also love these big, big movies that are just an experience at the theater. And every time a Christopher Nolan movie comes out, similarly to Denis Villeneuve movies, it's like, this is an experience that I want to have. Number four, I would put The Holdovers for me, would be the number four pick. It is one of the best screenplays of the year. Just hilarious. So well written. Paul Giamatti, and I forget the young man's name, and I feel terrible. I should have written it down. It was his first time ever being in a movie. He does an incredible job here. But Paul Giamatti, man, the man is just absolutely incredible. He's so good. Like in this, like I listened to an interview about him. This is kind of like a bookend for him with Alexander Payne, because it's like he made Sideways in 2003, and now in 2023 he made The Holdovers with him. It's just like, man, he's just so good. And it just like, if he won the award for best actor, I would be pretty happy about it, because he is just an incredible, incredible actor. Number fifth pick. Ooh, that is going to be tough. Poor Things or Anatomy of a Fall. I guess I'm going to go Anatomy of a Fall. This film is just such a unique take on the courtroom drama and the whodunit, or did she do it, or what is it? Like, I just, this film had me on the edge of my seat. I wanted to know what was going to happen next. It's going to be added to the Criterion Collection, I think, in May. I'm very, very excited to revisit it and watch all the extra features when that comes out. So that would be my fifth. Sixth. Oh boy. Sixth, I'll go Poor Things. The production design, the costume work, Emma Stone's performance, what she's able to do here is just, ooh, wow. If she won Best Actress, yeah. I think her and Lily Gladstone. I think I might have skipped over Best Actress now that I think about it. If I did, yeah, I think Lily Gladstone is going to win. Should win Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone. Emma Stone's won before, so in the Lily Gladstone story is a lot better. I think she's going to end up winning. But yeah, Emma Stone's work here, what she's able to do with her body and how she contorts it and acts like she's a baby, but then at the same time, like she's like an adult later on in the, it's insane. Very, very well done. Number seven, I would probably go Killers of the Flower Moon. This is a movie I liked very, very much. It's well over 3 hours. It is, yeah, a lengthy one. I had a hard time with it the one time that I did watch it, just because Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro's characters were just such scumbags. It's hard to root for them in the same way that I'm able to root for people in like Goodfellas and Casino and The Departed. Like, I don't know. This was a challenge. This was something where I don't know. My viewing experience was, I don't know, not exactly what I was hoping it was going to be, but the technical aspects of the filmmaking, Lily Gladstone's performance, whenever Leo and Robert De Niro were on the screen together, is absolutely incredible. Jesse Plemons does great work in it. It's just, yeah, it's a very, very good film. And I would definitely check it out again at some point. In my eighth spot, I have American Fiction. Again, I absolutely love this movie. Could definitely see it winning, and I think it actually might be, now that I am talking about it more, I think when I was talking about screenplays, I think it is the favorite to win. And rightfully so. The script is incredible. It's one of those movies that I thought suffered a little bit from too much going on and too much family drama. I think that's what I talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago. Still feel that way thinking about it now. But it's a hilarious film. Really, really enjoyed it. Had a great time seeing it at the theater. In the ninth spot, I think I would have Barbie. This is a film that has a fantastic script. The humor just... It wore me down by the end of the film. I could feel like, oh, that joke is just tonally so similar to that one. And I don't know. I had a fun time watching it. I think it's a great movie. I think people should see it. Margot Robbie's performance, similar to Emma Stone, like what she does with her body, how she has to move in this movie, is absolutely incredible. And it's rare when you think of like some of the best acting performances of the year. One doesn't think of like, oh, movement as much as the actual like inflection and the emotion behind the words. But I thought Margot Robbie, if she had been nominated for Best Actress, that would have been very deserved. I think the script by Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig is fantastic. I think it is very, very funny. And I think the audiences are absolutely loving it for a reason. And if you had told me 2 years ago when we first heard about this movie coming out, like, oh man, what do you think of it? Like, do you think it's going to be any good? I would say absolutely not. So it's a testament to everyone involved that they made a film that is not only good, it's fantastic. And it is deservedly nominated for Best Picture, which is, again, would have been shocking to me here when we first heard that this movie was coming out. But yeah, it is... Well worth a watch. And yeah, very, very fun movie. Last on my list, I would definitely have to put Maestro. I think this movie is getting undeserved bashing online. And I think it's in large part due to Bradley Cooper, and people think that he's coming across as kind of desperate, and like that this movie, he put so much time and did so many things for this, in terms of like makeup, in terms of voice work, in terms of learning instruments and all these different things that he did. I think people are thinking he comes across as like a little desperate and like, oh, I'm this great filmmaker and this and that. This movie's good. I think it's, I'm about to read the script. I've had it saved on my tablet for a while. I just haven't read it all the way through yet. But I think Bradley Cooper, I think he is good for the movie industry as a whole. I think what he's doing, like the fact that he is really putting all this effort in and putting, making these films that are of such high quality, is just like, I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. And I hope that he keeps making movies. I loved A Star is Born. Maestro's focus on Leonard Bernstein's relationship with his wife was not as interesting as I was hoping it was going to be. I love this film from a technical aspect. The different aspect ratios, the camera work, the performances by Carey Mulligan and Bradley Cooper are awesome here. The sequence in the church with Bradley Cooper is one of the best sequences of the year. It's just, there's a lot of fluff here and a lot of things that, I think a different story maybe could have been told. I didn't want just a biopic of Leonard Bernstein, and I respect and I'm glad that Bradley Cooper tried to go in a different direction with it. But it wasn't as interesting as I was hoping it was going to be. I would love to check this film out again and again, just for the filmmaking aspect. But from a story aspect, it is just not nearly as strong, as the other nominees for Best Picture. So, I would definitely say that it is the weakest of the 10, but that by no means does that mean it doesn't deserve to be checked out. I can't think of a year recently, at least, where it's just like, wow, here are the 10 films. And I think all of them are pretty strong. I'm actually going to look at the 10 nominees from last year just really quick. I want to see what they were. 10 nominees, 2023 Oscars. I want to see what was up. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Fablemans, Women Talking, Elvis, Triangle of Sadness, All Quiet on the Western Front, The Banshees of Inisherin, Tar, and Babylon. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Was Babylon was up for Best Picture? Oh, yeah. The Banshees of Inisherin I didn't love. I didn't see Elvis. That can't be. Let me look. I don't think that was it for Best Picture. I'm looking right now. We're live. Here we go. No, that's right. And Avatar, The Way of Water. Yeah, last year was really weak. Top Gun Maverick. Yeah. Yeah. No, this year, looking at that. Yeah, this year is much, much stronger. You can't really go wrong with checking any of these movies out. Like I said, if you had you are only able to check out three films, what would they be? And I've said this again and again. Now it's changing, I guess. I would say Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Oppenheimer. And the holdovers would be my fourth pick. Those four. Wow. Yeah. Past Lives, it just hits me like a gut punch every single time I watch it. Oppenheimer is I will never, ever forget seeing that movie in a theater. The Zone of Interest, how subtle it is, and just the camera work, the cinematography is just, and the sound editing is just unlike anything. And then I'll never forget The Holdovers, just because as an educator and just the story it tells and Paul Giamatti's performance is just, it's a very, very powerful film. So this was a long episode of Ryan's Reviews. There's a lot that I wanted to talk about. I'm looking ahead to next week. I'm going to be talking about some pretty big ones. I'm going to be checking out, I don't remember what year this came out. I'm going to be watching Adam's Rib, starring Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. I'm going to be checking Au Revoir Les Enfants. This is one of the movies in my Roger Ebert book. The next, I think it's also a Louis Malle movie, just like Atlantic City was. I think it's another one. They're back to back. So I'm excited to check that out. And then I'm going to the movie theater, and it's not going to be too shocking what I'm going to see.
It's okay. I'm here. It's been a while since you've had one of those nightmares. Tell me, what was it about?
It's only fragments.
Dune Part 2. Probably my most anticipated movie of the year. After seeing the first one, I think it definitely is. I am just, yeah, over the moon excited. Everybody is talking about it. And yeah, I didn't go see it opening weekend. So this is my weekend now, Oscar weekend, Dune weekend. So excited to talk about that one next week. I'm also going to be talking about two other films, Adam's Rib, starring Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. I assume it's a rom-com. I don't know anything about it. And the Roger Ebert pick for the week is Au Revoir Les Enfants, which is another Louis Malle film, the director of Atlantic City, which I just watched and absolutely loved. So I'm excited to check that one out. I also have The Quiet Earth on my list, which is currently on the Criterion channel. I'm hoping to check that one out and maybe review it, but that one I might not get to. We will see. But Dune 2, those two movies, I'm excited to talk about those next week. I'm thinking I will also have a special episode up on Monday, just kind of talking a little bit about the Oscars. If I have enough energy, I might even put it up Sunday night afterwards, but probably look for that one sometime on Monday, breaking down the surprises and kind of just the night as a whole. And then I'll be back on Saturday, reviewing those three films. So hope you can tune in then. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Ryan's Reviews.